Hey friends, welcome back to Unpolished But Cult. I'm Catherine Schaefer, and today I'm showing up in that very particular emotional range somewhere between I deeply love Jesus and please don't test my sanctification before I've eaten. And honestly, that might be the most accurate posture for talking about James, son of Zebedee, because James lived in that tension long before we ever did. He loved Jesus fiercely, but he also had the kind of intense personality that made heaven go, "All right, buckle up." There's a reason Jesus looked at him and his brother John and gave them a nickname that sounded like a first century wrestling duo, Sons of Thunder. It makes us feel a little better about our own moments. There's something grounding about James. He's not tidy. He's not quiet. He doesn't slip into the narrative softly. He arrives with energy. That alone makes us feel at home with him, because most of us didn't wander into faith with a gentle soundtrack playing behind us. We came in messy, emotional, overwhelmed, hopeful, broken, dramatic, sometimes all in the same afternoon. James gives us permission to admit that discipleship isn't a graceful entrance. It's more like tripping into a room and pretending you meant to do it. What draws us to James isn't just his thunder, though it's the way Jesus responds to it. Jesus doesn't try to sand him down or make him quieter. He doesn't say, "James, sweetie, you're a little much." Instead, he welcomes all of that personality with this beautiful confidence that the fire inside James wasn't a problem. It just needed direction. And for those of us who have big feelings or fast reactions, that feels like a deep breath of relief. If James can follow Jesus with his whole storm of intensity and still be chosen, included, loved, and trusted, then maybe we aren't too much either. What we see early in James's story is someone who acts first and understands later. And there's a moment in Luke where a Samaritan village doesn't receive Jesus. And James and John ask if they should call down fire from heaven. Fire. Literally, from heaven. Over a hospitality issue. And honestly, we laugh, but we get it. We might not call it judgment fire, but we've had those moments where our temper, our hurt, or our defensiveness speaks before our prayer life does. We feel something deeply, and before wisdom has even put on its shoes, we're already reacting. But Jesus doesn't dismiss James. He doesn't shame him. He simply redirects him. Not that way. That's not who we are. And then they keep walking. That moment says more about Jesus than James, because Jesus knew the difference between an untrained fire and an unredeemable one. He wasn't trying to extinguish James. He was trying to shape him. James stayed. That's the part we can't overlook. He didn't get embarrassed and walk away. He didn't let correction make him withdraw. He stayed close, even when he got it wrong. And that closeness gradually reshaped him. And that's something we're learning too. That transformation rarely happens in the loud victories, but instead in the quiet nearness. James is especially meaningful because he isn't always front and center, but he's always near Jesus. He's one of the three Jesus brings into the most intimate moments: the raising of Jairus' daughter, the transfiguration, and the Garden of Gethsemane. These aren't random scenes. They are the kinds of moments that teach us what real strength looks like. A whisper that raises the dead, a glory that reveals heaven, and a surrender that saves the world. Imagine how all that would affect someone like James. The same man who once suggested heavenly fire now watches Jesus choose healing instead of revenge. He watches Jesus reveal divine identity, not through dominance, but through radiant humility. He watches Jesus kneel, pray, weep, and yield. All of this is rubbing off on him slowly, quietly, deeply. And it's happening to us too, whether we notice it or not. We came into faith with all kinds of instincts, some beautiful, some chaotic, and over time, as we follow Jesus through our own raising moments, our own mountaintop seasons, and our own Gethsemanes, something starts shifting inside us. We begin to see strength differently, courage, love, all differently. Our fire doesn't leave, it just starts burning in a new direction. What's powerful about James is that he didn't change overnight. His transformation wasn't a sudden switch from impulsive to serene. It was a process shaped by proximity. And that's something we forget in our own lives. We want instant spiritual maturity, instant emotional healing, instant wisdom. But Jesus works slowly and kindly with people like us. People with thunder in their bones. We see ourselves in James because he represents the part of us that tries hard, loves fiercely, and sometimes misfires spectacularly. But the more he stays close to Jesus, the more that fire becomes strength rather than chaos. The same passion that once wanted to defend Jesus through the destruction becomes the courage to follow Jesus through suffering. The same loyalty that once lashed out becomes the loyalty that refuses to back down under pressure. And there's something incredibly human about how James is portrayed. He doesn't have long speeches recorded in scripture. He doesn't seem to be a polished communicator or a strategic thinker. He just keeps showing up. And honestly, that's the kind of disciple most of us are. We don't always know the right words. We don't always know the right timing, but we stay close. And that counts for more than we realize. James also teaches us that God uses the parts of us we used to think were flaws. The fire in him wasn't the problem. It just needed a purpose. That gives us so much hope because we've spent years trying to quiet our intensity or soften our emotions, thinking they make us less spiritual. But maybe God isn't trying to silence those things. Maybe he's simply trying to direct them. Maybe the passion that once caused trouble is the same passion that will help us stand firm. Maybe the empathy that once overwhelmed us is the same empathy that will help us love people well. Maybe the instinct to react is the same instinct that refined will help us respond with courage. James shows us it's less about changing who we are and more about letting Jesus shape who we already are. And while we often talk about the bold beginnings of James's story, we rarely talk about the quiet ending. James is the first apostle martyred. Acts tells us this in a single sentence, almost too small for the weight of it. He was killed by the sword. He doesn't give a final speech. There's no dramatic farewell. Scripture doesn't record his last words. But maybe that's fitting. Maybe James's biggest transformation wasn't something he said. It was something he became. He became steady. He became anchored. He became courageous in a way that didn't need thunder, because his devotion spoke louder than any storm inside him. And that's where we find ourselves, reflected again. Not in the dramatic gestures or the big moments, but in the quiet, steady courage of following Jesus, even when faith costs us something. even when we're misunderstood, when our emotions flare up, when our past selves tug at us. We're learning to let our fire deepen into conviction instead of flaring into chaos. James reminds us that God isn't waiting for us to become different people. He's shaping the people we already are. Our personalities aren't accidents. They're raw materials. And under the hands of Jesus, every raw material becomes something beautiful, something useful, something purposeful. And maybe that's why James feels like family to us. He shows us what it looks like to bring our whole selves, thunder included, to Jesus and trust him to make something holy out of it. So James's story takes a turn that feels less like a new chapter and more like the natural deepening of everything we've already seen in him. He doesn't suddenly abandon his intensity or grow into someone calm and mild. Instead, the fire inside him quiets in a way that feels stronger, not smaller. It's like watching thunder learn how to hold itself with purpose. Something in him shifts from reacting to responding, from protecting Jesus the wrong way to trusting Jesus the right way. What's beautiful is that this shift doesn't erase his fire. It refines it. We tend to picture spiritual maturity as becoming less intense, less emotional, less reactive. But if James teaches us anything, is that growth isn't about turning down the volume of who we are. It's about letting Jesus tune in. And tuning in doesn't happen instantly. It happens through exposure, presence, through bumping into our old instincts and choosing better ones over time. We imagine those quiet conversations on the road, those late night campfires, those moments when Jesus pulled the three, Peter, James, and John, a little closer. It wasn't favoritism, it was formation. Jesus was shaping something unique in all of them. Where Peter needed stability and John needed identity, James needed direction. His heart was never the problem. His heart just needed the right target. If we're honest, that's true for us too. We came to Jesus with fire, fire from our wounds, fire from our passion, our longing to get things right after getting so many things wrong. And Jesus didn't look at our fire and say, "Tone it down." He said, "Stay close. Let me teach you what this fire is for." So James stayed close. And that's the part that keeps echoing. The more we sit with his story, the more we realize how much of discipleship is simply refusing to leave, even when we don't understand, even when we fail, when we feel out of place, when our instincts is to protect Jesus in ways he never asked for. James didn't have the most lines in scripture. He didn't have the most dramatic moments, but he kept showing up. Kept walking, and his feet stayed near Jesus even when his emotions didn't know where to land. And slowly, the rough edges of his thunder began to turn into courage. And courage looks different for people like James and people like us. It's not quiet, it's not passive, it isn't thin or fragile, it's not the kind of courage that only works when life behaves itself. It's the courage that comes from a heart that's been redirected rather than replaced. A heart that used to flare becomes a heart that stays. A heart that used to burn outward becomes a heart that burns through hardship. A heart that used to speak too fast becomes a heart willing to listen to God even when silence feels uncomfortable. And that kind of courage doesn't show up overnight. Nope. It shows up through those mountaintop moments where Jesus reveals his glory. through the heartbreak moments where we see him suffer, through the miracles that stretch our faith and the confusion that humbles it, through the mundane days of walking dusty roads without any clue what's coming next. And James lived all of that. And the fire inside of him started learning how to breathe instead of explode. The moment on the Mount of Transfiguration is one we come back to because it's changed something in James. Even though scripture doesn't spell out the emotional details, standing there watching Jesus shine with a light not of this world, hearing the voice of the Father, seeing Moses and Elijah, it was a moment that thunder couldn't fix or enhance. It was a moment that called James's fire into awe instead of action. Sometimes God doesn't calm us by quieting our emotions. He calms us by overwhelming us with himself. Thunder learns reverence in moments like that. But the Gethsemane moment is just as formative. James watched Jesus wrestle with sorrow so deep it pressed the edges of life. He watched the bravest man he'd ever known sweat blood and whisper prayers that sounded like surrender and strength braided together. And maybe something clicked in him. Strength isn't always loud. Courage isn't always reactive. Love isn't always dramatic. Sometimes the true thunder is the one willing to kneel. That moment prepared James more than he realized. It prepared us too. When we think about it, we've watched Jesus meet us in our dark nights, our uncertain places, our grief-filled prayers, our surrendered moments. We've watched him show a kind of courage we don't naturally possess. And something in us shifts. We start wanting his kind of strength instead of our own. And right there, that's where transformation begins. It's not about losing intensity. It's about learning where to aim it. James's final recorded moment is quiet. As I mentioned, almost startling so. Herod executes him early in the book of Acts, and scripture only gives us one sentence. That brevity isn't a dismissal, it's a portrait. James didn't need a speech at the end because his life had become the sermon. His courage spoke louder than any farewell message could. The man who once wanted to call down fire was now willing to stand firm without making noise. His thunder had matured into resolve. That single sentence holds decades of formation. It reminds us transformation isn't always seen in the dramatic gestures, but in who we become when faith costs something. And it also reminds us that Jesus didn't pick James because he was calm. He picked him because he would stay, because he would learn. Because he would let Jesus redirect the parts of him that were more fire than wisdom. We feel the weight of that lesson. We're learning it too. The fire inside us is part of how God made us. Our emotions, our intensity, our quick reactions. They're not mistakes. They're raw materials. And in the hands of Jesus, raw materials become something beautiful. Our sensitivity becomes empathy, our passion becomes endurance, our boldness becomes leadership, our thunder becomes courage. And we often worry we're too much for God, too emotional, too reactive, too dramatic, too messy. James's story tells us the truth. God isn't intimidated by too much. He can do something with too much. It's not enough that we need to worry about. And even then, he multiplies that too. James entered discipleship with his whole storm intact, and Jesus shaped the storm into strength. And that gives us permission to bring our storms too. We don't have to show up calm. We just have to show up close. Following Jesus isn't about being flawless. It's about being formed. And formation happens by staying near him in the moments we get it right and in the moments we absolutely don't. Staying near him when we feel like thunder and when we feel like nothing at all. Staying near him when our instincts mislead us and when our hearts break open. Staying until the fire finds its purpose and the noise finds its rhythm. That's James, and that's us. We are disciples with fire inside us. We are learners with strong emotions. We are followers who sometimes react too fast and pray too slow. But we are also people staying close to Jesus. And closeness changes everything. Our thunder isn't something God resents. It's something he redirects. James reminds us that we aren't meant to become smaller, quieter versions of ourselves. We are meant to become truer versions of ourselves, shaped, steadied, and strengthened by the one who knows exactly what to do with a heart full of thunder. And maybe that's the real miracle in James's story. He proves that Jesus builds his kingdom not through people who have everything figured out, but through people who bring everything they are, including the fire, and let him shape it day by day. That's transformation. And it's ours too. Thanks for sitting with James today. His fire, his flaws, his formation, and the way all of it mirrors our own journeys. There's something comforting about realizing that discipleship has never been neat. It's never been about having a polished personality or a calm spirit or a perfect reaction time. Jesus chose thunder on purpose. He chose intensity on purpose. He chose people who felt things deeply, who moved quickly, who spoke boldly, who needed guidance, who needed grace, people like James, people like us. And maybe that's the part we need to carry with us this week or into our next week. We aren't disqualified by the parts of ourselves we think are too much. We aren't behind because we're still learning how to aim our emotions in the right direction. We aren't failures because our passion gets messy or our loyalty gets loud. Jesus isn't looking for perfect disciples. He's looking for present ones. And when we say close, really close, he takes our thunder and shapes it into courage. He takes our passion and turns it into strength. He takes the messy parts of us and makes them meaningful, purposeful, and beautifully used in the kingdom. So if you see yourself in James, and let's be honest, most of us do, be encouraged. Growth doesn't require you to stop being who you are. It just invites you to stay near the one who knows exactly how to shape who you are. Thunder isn't something God avoids. It's something he transforms. Thanks for joining me today on Unpolished But Called. If this episode stirred something in you or helped you see your own walk with Jesus a little bit more clearly, make sure you follow and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode in our December Disciple series. If you're looking for any study guides or resources, I have books on my website, the rest of the podcast series, or anything else related to this crazy, messy, beautiful, loud life. You can find it on my website, katherineschaefer.com. But until next time, stay close to Jesus. He's definitely not intimidated by your fire. He knows exactly what to do with it. Have a great weekend.